We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Better Living, a show about people or organizations having a big impact here in North Texas. I'm your host, Chris Arnold of 105.3 The Fan, and joining us today is the president of Urban Specialists. They're about to do some big things for this summer, planning to unite parents, youth, and law enforcement, keeping the city streets safe and sound this summer. Anton Lucky, how you doing, buddy?
Man, Chris, man, I'm feeling fine, man. Thanks for having me, bro.
Oh, for sure. Once again, let's tell people what the Urban Specialists are all about.
Okay, Chris, man, the Urban Specialists is a nonprofit organization who was started by the late, great Bishop Omar Jawar, legend, the man, the guy, Mr. Community, that passed away in 2021 from complications of COVID. But and all praise and shouts out to him, man, because that was our leader.
Mm-hmm.
But Urban Specialists, man, is an organization that seeks to rid our communities of senseless violence and poverty, right? And so we've been around for about 23 years now, more. We did the first gang peace treaty here in Dallas. And we've been working in communities since then. I mean, back since 2000, early 2000, we started. And we've been just doing this work, man. We've been here in Dallas, man, helping Dallas. And we do that by identifying and activating a network of local leaders and communities who have powerful leadership. And we recruit them, we train them, and we deploy them, right, across the city, right, to be forces of good in a community, man. So that's the work that we've been doing.
What I really love about Urban Specialists is that not only do you have the respect from the various gangs, but you also have respect from law enforcement. And you know that everybody has to get along and work together to solve these issues. And I love the fact that over these years, you guys have earned that respect. Can you talk about that?
Yes, man, and it's interesting, man, because when you work with gangs, you'll have a run-in with police officers, right?
Oh, yeah.
They just don't have that. And so what we've been doing, right, working in communities, trying to get individuals, especially our young people, to change their trajectory, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you have that cross-section when you're dealing with police. And then just fast-forward into when George Floyd happened, I want to say shout out to Chief Brown, who was our police chief then. He called on Bishop Omar and I to help with the rise in tension that was going on after George. No, not George Floyd. Let me take that back.
The parade.
And, the parade. Those officers were killed in Dallas, right? Tragically killed, man. The whole nation watched. Called us, right, and we galvanized into action, called a meeting with the activists, with police officers, and we had them in this room without media, and man, we really, really, really hammered it out, right? It was a very intense meeting, but it was the right people, it was the right reason, it was the right leaders, and we like to believe because of that meeting that happened July 11th, that was the reason that Dallas didn't go up and riot. They didn't go up and smoke.
You know what? Nationally, everybody was saying that Dallas handled everything right. This is how you handle situations. And that's why Chief David Brown got all the national accolades. Of course, City of Dallas, too, but because of his leadership skills and making sure that everybody was on the same page, that Dallas set a really good example after that parade. And you are a bigger part of that.
Oh yeah, man, and I'm just honored to have been a part of that, because we use, you know, me and Omar, we have been working negotiating gang conflicts with people who trying to kill each other. So it quite natural. Those skills were transferable when we began to we were thrust into this position of negotiating peace between community activists and police officers, right? And so we used those skills. Fast forward, we started having meetings with police officers and community, and a lot came out of that, man. And then just jumping forward to Chief Eddie Garcia, I was fortunate enough to meet him. And man, we started doing, because we understood, right? We understood that in order to have safe communities, man, you have to have a relationship with police officers. Public safety cannot exist without a relationship with community.
Yeah, you can't be adversarial.
You can't. And so we began to bring those two things together. I've been doing some work with Chief Garcia, and shout out to him, too. He's been doing an amazing job here in Dallas as well. But that's kind of put us on the scene, right? Put us on the scene, on the national scene. But really, Dallas is where our chops at. Dallas is home. Dallas is what we love. And we want Dallas to be one of the safest cities in America, you know. So we do that work.
Oh, yeah. And again, we talk about the great respect you have, and you talk about the gangs and the initiating the peace treaties with them, and of course, working with law enforcement. But you've also had a significant impact on people in the community, especially underserved communities. And
right.
I remember there was at one point you guys had a campaign where you were actually taking care of families with checks.
Yes. Our mission has always been to equal the score, to bring equity, to raise the voice of the voiceless, and try to bridge this gap between North and South, right? Mm-hmm. Because we believe that if South Dallas is hurting, that hurts the whole city. So we believe that we have to make sure that we are looking out for the least of the, you know, how do we advocate and be the advocates for those who don't have a voice, and go into those other rooms and help people be the translators and the interpreters to help people understand how important it is to help our neighbor. And so that's kind of been the gist of our work, man. And it just takes on many forms and many iterations. We try to use our voice and our influence for good. And our organization has been doing that as well. So speaking of what you were speaking on, at the height of COVID, you know, we were able to put $500,000 in the hands of families way before the government did, just using our relationships and our connections. So it's been many instances like that where our organization has, along with other organizations, has spearheaded getting the resources to those who need it.
And we talk about, you know, the pandemic and how a lot of different organizations had to adjust and make a pivot. You guys had to make a significant pivot when you lost Bishop Omar, and you in particular had to take a hold of the leadership reins. Can you talk about that situation and how it impacted you personally and how your responsibilities have changed over the last couple of years?
Man, that was one of the toughest things that happened when the passing of Bishop Omar, because of, as you know, Chris, that was my mentor, that was my guide, that was my pastor. And he poured a lot. I mean, he's one of the smartest guys I ever met in my life, who was selfless. I mean, his living was about serving other people. His example was about helping other people. And so Omar and I kind of in tandem built this organization. But, you know, I like to say, they call me Bruce Wayne, most people in the neighborhood do. But
the Dark Knight.
Bishop Omar was actually Bruce Wayne. He was Batman, I was Robin, right?
And right.
So I always looked at him as being a person who would eulogize me, right? And I used to tell him, I said, man, don't let no jackleg preacher do my funeral, man. You're going And I never saw him passing, right? And so he passed. That took a toll on me, because in my mind, I wasn't ready to step into that spotlight, right? Or step into that seat, because it was so reserved. I always had it in my mind that it was his seat, that he could, that I would follow him and I would serve with him, alongside him. And so when that happened, man, you know, it took a toll on me, and it hit quick. So I didn't have a chance to grieve because the organization, you know, we have an organization of about 20 or so people. They were in limbo trying to understand what was going to happen for them, you know, in terms of their families, in terms of their livelihood. And so I had to spring into action for them, you know, to make sure that they understood that this work that we've been doing that was going to go on well into the future, that it wasn't the end of the work. And so that was difficult, man. But yeah. Man, I'll never forget, man, a good supporting friend of mine who came to Omar. He's a good friend of me in Omar, Charles Koch. Mm-hmm. It was during COVID when Omar passed, and he came in. And Charles never leaves his house. He never leaves his house. He flew in at the height of COVID when Omar's funeral. And he was walking into the memorial, and he leaned in to me, and he said, "Anton," he said, "you got big shoes to fill." He said, "but don't worry, we with you, and we're going to double down, and we're going to make sure you're okay." Man, that was just so reassuring. Great. Yeah, that was reassuring for me, man. And shout out to the Stand Together Foundation and community, Charles Koch, Elizabeth Koch, who are great friends with me, Chase Koch. They checks on me. I check on them regularly. But they have been super supportive of this new transition and the advice that they gave me. You know, like, and this was the most reassuring advice that you can give a person in my position is, look, there's only one Omar. And you don't have to be Omar.
Right.
God has opened this up for you to take everything that Omar gave you and do it in the way that Anton see it needs to be done. And that was reassuring for me, Chris. That helped me big time.
Oh, it had to. It had to.
It helped me big time because I was, you know, those are some big shoes. And Omar has been known across this country for doing this kind of work, you know, so that was big.
Now, I know his family is also still involved.
Yes. Faith is running the five. His son, Omar II, just created Bishop Omar Jawar Foundation. So they're getting ready to do some amazing work. He got the band. So it's been great, man. Pastor Anita, his wife, just got ordained, and she is carrying on the legacy of the church because, you know, Omar started in the church. So King War is the church that she's pushing forward. His youngest daughter, Omni, man, who Omar wanted to be a, you know, going to the ministry. She just been ordained, and man, she's killing the game. So it's beautiful to see. I couldn't see this like 2 years ago because it was heavy.
Yeah.
But to see it now, the organization thriving the way we're thriving today is a beautiful thing, man. It's a testament to if you just stay true and stay focused, you know, God will open the doors for you and make a way.
We're talking to the president of the Urban Specialist, Anton Lucky, and one of the things that you guys are known for is you reach into the depths of communities, bringing awareness to critical issues and providing sustainable solutions. You guys are all about the solutions, and I think the last time I was talking to you, I saw you face to face. There's an event you guys put together at Paul Quinn College where it was a graduation ceremony. Could you elaborate about that? Because I thought that was exceptional, especially the different kinds of people that you brought together that were involved in that program. And it was absolutely wonderful. And I'm saying this right now because this is the graduation time of the year right now. Shout out to everybody who's got family and friends who are graduating. And if you have graduated from a college or a high school, props to you for getting the job done.
Man. That program you're speaking of is the Bishop Omar School of Entrepreneurship, right? Before Bishop Omar passed, he had this idea, because we work, Chris, with a lot of individuals in communities who are really on the ground doing the work. And so, and we support them, we train them, we provide resources for them so that they can be an influence in their own neighborhood, because we believe those who are closest to the problem can see the answer more clearly, right, than people who are parachuting in with ideas, right? You want to find those individuals that's in the community that's doing the work, and how do we support and how we build them up to become those change makers in their community. And so for Omar passed, he wanted another pathway for those individuals. And what we learned was that a lot of people in our neighborhoods, they are very entrepreneurial, just by nature, mm-hmm. just by sure means of survival, but they don't have the foundational skills and tools that other people have, right?
Right.
And so we began this conversation about creating an entrepreneurship school for urban entrepreneurs. And Omar was spearheading those conversations before he passed. And he passed before we was able to bring it to fruition. And so after he passed and we got settled in, we began to have a conversation again. I wanted to carry that on, right? And, mm-hmm. and so we started meeting with organizations, myself, Bob Wright, who is a supporter of our organization and one of the founding funders of the Bishop Omar School of Entrepreneurship. But I named it Bishop Omar School of Entrepreneurship after Omar. I could have named it anything.
Yeah, could have named it Urban Specialist. Yeah.
Yes. I said, no, it's got to be Bishop Omar School of Entrepreneurship. But man, that what you, so the Bishop Omar School of Entrepreneurship focused to give foundational knowledge, expertise, experience, training to urban entrepreneurs. And you came to our graduation, man, mm-hmm. where we were graduating young men and women who have business, some who have been in business, some are new to businesses, but they had committed to a 12-week rigorous program, and then they was accepted into a 90-day program where it was all about strengthening their business, connecting them to resources, putting them in this network so that they could be helped. Because we know that when you help urban entrepreneurs, people from the neighborhood, mm-hmm. they're going to hire people within the neighborhood. They're going to hire family. And that's how you begin to chip away at poverty, the poverty mindset. You give people a hand up as opposed to a handout. And so that program, man, and Chris, let me say this. You didn't know this. I just graduated from it. I went through it
myself. Congratulations, man. Yes, you walked the walk. God. You walked the yes. walk. You backed yes. it up. You can now say that you did that too.
Yeah, I graduated last week, man. We had a graduation. We have two cohorts to graduate last week. You know, I couldn't wait to step on the stage and say, you know, I'm not only the president, but I'm a client.
Nice. Very nice.
I want to say this, man. That program, the Bishop Omar School of Entrepreneurship, is definitely one of the best programs that I've been through. And I'm not saying this because it's a part of our organization. I actually went through it myself, and it helped me. And then to hear those entrepreneurs who went through this program talk about how it really helped their business. And I'm talking about people, some that have employees, you know, up to 10 employees.
Yeah.
But taking this program helped their business, man. So I'm very proud of the Bishop Omar School of Entrepreneurship.
I love the fact that you're able to raise the IQs of all the small business entrepreneurs, and the fact that there are people who are out there. It's like, you know what? I can always learn something more. And you back it up yourself by saying, wait a minute, let me go ahead and take this myself so that you, if anybody asks you any questions about it, you've lived it now. You can say firsthand knowledge, I know what this course can do for people.
Man, I would implore anybody to join that course. If you're a budding entrepreneur, or if you're a 1 to 5 year entrepreneur in business, this is truly the foundational knowledge that when you get this knowledge, man, it's going to take your business to the next level. So
I got to
Bishop Omar School of Entrepreneurship. Yes.
Yes. I got to hark back to last year one more time, because your keynote speaker was so impressive, talking about the School of Hard Knocks and where he is today. Can you shout him out and kind of touch on some of the things he was keeping it real about?
Man, I want to shout out my mentor too. And he's from the same projects that I grew up in. He's one of the most successful African-American men here in Dallas. The CEO, he's the board chair now, On Target Supplies and Logistics, Mr. Albert C. Black.
Yes.
Junior, man. Shout out to Albert Black, man. Mm-hmm. His keynote was so on point, man. His knowledge, his wisdom, talking about us as people and being able to obtain this type of knowledge and the type of relationships, it blew the graduates away, right?
Yes, because it was very impressive.
They didn't know how deep he was and how connected he was. And so shout out to Albert Black. He is a definitely a true supporter of everything we do. He is one of the great persons in Dallas that I can say is doing the work, who have become very successful. And now he spends most of his time helping communities and helping individuals get on their feet and giving them a shot. So shout out to Abel Black.
Yes, major props to him, because he may be under the radar as far as, you know, headlines, and he's not looking for the spotlight all the time, but he is a pillar of this community, and he has done so many things, and he has actually lived. He has lived the life to show you how what it takes to get to where you need to go.
Yes. Shout out to him, man.
Now, we're talking about what you got coming up this summer, because I think it's another excellent idea. You know, we were able to talk about the background of Urban Specialist a little bit, which lends the opportunity for people to learn more about what you're going to try to accomplish this summer. You've got basically a summit going on, right?
Yes. Check this out. So last night, right, Chris, I went on this podcast, Real Life Street Stars. It's kind of one of those podcasts. It's a major platform here in Dallas, and it's really highlight a lot of artists. It's really artist-centric, you know, rappers, et cetera. And so, you know, I was thinking, and I said, man, you know what? Man, we got to get this message to the kids and to our people, because we know when summer comes every year that there is an uptick in violence, that some kids lose their life prematurely to violence, right? And so we have to get ahead of that. You know, Dallas has been doing good, but we still having some upticks. And I'm sitting around saying, man, how can we be proactive, right? How can we get in front of this deal? And so last night, right, I had 20 guys from different neighborhoods who are very influential, and women who are very influential in their own right, OGs, true OGs. And I brought them together, man, and cast this vision about us really working together, that we really have to step up and get in our community and be responsible for the young people that's in our community, who happen to be our sons and our daughters and our nephews and our nieces, that we have to become present in their lives. And when we become present, that ultimately stops and deter violence that we see, you know, because the problem that we see is a lack of love, and the cure to it is a lot of love. And so I got these brothers and sisters together last night. We went on a major platform and just talked, and it was brothers and sisters from different neighborhoods who had never met before. And it was so powerful, Chris, seeing the energy in the room around how do we get in front of this? Because I think sometimes people think that we are silent and that we in some kind of way condone the violence that we see in our community.
Right, or look the other way.
I want people to know that it's people in our community that we condemn that violence, that we don't support that violence. And I'm telling these brothers that we have to be front and center on the front lines, just like we are when it's a killing with police officers. We have to be just as vigilant when we are killing each other. And I said the only way we can solve this is we must come together. Young people must see us working in true unity and solidarity, and we must be able to give love to those youngsters who really need love. They really need a father figure in their life. And so these brothers came together last night, and we announced that to the city, right? Mm-hmm. And so on June 1st, at our office here at Urban Specialist, that's 1401 Botham John Boulevard, we are launching this campaign, and it's called Spring Into Action. Well, we are bringing together influencers, OGs, radio personalities, anybody who has a platform and influence. We are saying that this is what we're going to do in unison to ensure that Dallas be safe this summer, that we're going to work together to make sure that Dallas be safe, that we're going to get out and get on the front lines of talking, bringing these young warring factions together, highlighting the programs, because a lot of those brothers and sisters are already doing programs in their neighborhood. And we want to highlight that. We want to create this movement that says that we no longer are going to kill each other. We no longer going to be violent towards each other. That we want to make sure that our kids live into elderhood and not dying at 18 and 19 and 15 and 13. We want to stop that. And so everybody came together, man, and it was just beautiful to see that, man. And so June 1st, we're going to do our first press conference where we're going to be announcing that. And then throughout the summer, we're going to be working together. And I want to say this, Chris, like a lot of these brothers and sisters, they are doing this stuff out of their own pocket. So these are not big foundations mm-hmm. who are supported. These are just people who are on a shoestring budget, standing at the 7-Eleven with signs, raising money to send kids to camp, et cetera, et cetera. And I think we have to begin to highlight and we have to begin to resource. As a city, we have to begin to help those frontline soldiers who are on the battle lines trying to prevent the unnecessary senseless violence that our city see. So, man, I'm excited about that. I'm excited about what's about to happen. I just had a meeting with Chief Eddie Garcia. He was on my radio show, and we were talking about the partnership that we're doing and how we're going to bridge these gaps as it relates to law enforcement and then connecting law enforcement with these brothers and sisters and community so that we have a movement of people, of concerned people who can care enough about our city to say, our city is not going to experience an uptick in violence this summer. So I'm excited about that, man. It's never been done, never where you bring a diverse group of people, OGs, influencers, radio personalities, everybody with a platform saying, look, we cannot turn the other way at the violence that's happening, that we have to get in front of it, be proactive, and we have to highlight those soldiers that's on the ground that's doing the work. That's why I'm excited.
Oh, I love the excitement. I love the fact that you're being proactive. Again, you're not just responding to something happened. You're saying, you know what, we're going to keep some things from happening because everybody knows every summer, first of all, it's real hot outside in Texas. And second of all, a lot of people either don't have a summer job or they don't have a job at all. We're talking about kids or teenagers or young adults. They're like, they don't have enough to do. Or they just wind up interacting and not thinking things out. And so that's what usually leads to what you call it, senseless violence, right?
Yes. And you know what, Chris? It's the good thing about it that it's a lot of people in the city of Dallas who have a heart. It's a lot of people in our city who care about this issue. They don't know how to plug in. But it's a lot of people who care and understand how it affects all parts of our society.
Right.
Our collective duty, and we all have something to contribute. So I'm really calling on those people that you may not be the ones on the front lines, you know, negotiating conflict, et cetera, or taking kids to a basketball game. That may not be you, but there are individuals that's on the battle line that need your support. You know, and your support can be as simple as a hashtag. Your support can be financial, definitely financial, to help these brothers and sisters who don't have backings of organization, or big funders. They just doing it out their heart, but just being a token of appreciation, a blessing for those individuals who are doing it is needed and is important more than ever, man. Because my mission is to show the work of these individuals who don't have big names or big faces. They just in the shadows doing the work, man. And they are doing some amazing work, man. I mean, you talk to some of these kids and look at the stuff that's happening, man, the places that they're going, what they're learning. It's a testament that, man, when you invest into kids, you invest into communities, you're going to get a return on that investment, man. And our city becomes safer and a desirable city in the process.
Exactly. Nationwide, you'll be known as one of the better cities to live in. The Dallas-Fort Worth area is absolutely awesome. And the things that you're doing are just actually making it more and more better. In fact, you're basically asking some people, if you're, like you said, if you're not on the front lines, show your credit, give them their credibility.
Man,
let the people who are out there doing these things behind the scenes, give them the credibility that they deserve, so that nobody would doubt that what your intentions are good. They're solid. They're worthwhile.
Right. None of us can turn our eye on what's happening in our city. It's detrimental if we do.
Exactly.
We have to plug in. We have to contribute, and we all have a part to play in making sure that our city is a safe city, making sure that our kids are being served, and making sure that it's an opportunity for people to have upward mobility, man. And so I think that's what the gist of this movement that we're doing, because we're taking different people, we're bringing them together, We're bringing law enforcement,
having first responders, everybody. What I love about it is you're showing that there's not a disconnect, that there are connections, that everybody can influence each other, especially in a positive way, if you just reach out.
Man, you're absolutely correct, man. And so I'm excited about the spring and the action campaign. You'll be seeing more of it.
Right. You'll be highlighting it. You'll see it on social media. You'll be hearing about it in traditional media platforms. What I love about it all is, like I said, it's giving the credibility of the different groups and the different people who are making sure and staying ahead of these things. I know you can't shout out everybody, but are there some people that you want to recognize that stepped up the other night and showed support and said that they're going to be, you know, part of this process?
Man, it's a lot of people, Chris.
Now, I know you don't want to leave them all out, but I know.
Yeah, I don't want to leave them out.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
But it is some very important and influential people. It's gaining steam, man, and we're just constantly building, and more people are coming into the fold.
Yeah.
And it's really about the people. It's really about our city that we love, and making sure that our city is safe, making sure our residents are safe. But I don't want to shout nobody out because
You don't want anybody to say, "Hey, man, how come? What about me? I got you." Yeah, that's very smart on your part.
They all are important.
Everybody's important on every particular level. I appreciate you coming on the show and talking about this. And you know, we're gonna have to check back with you. And let me know if there's anything I can do for you as well. You know, I'm always there for you.
I appreciate you. I just want to reiterate once again, June 1st, 12:30 p.m., 1401 Botham Jane Boulevard. If you're available, come out to the press conference. Don't matter who you are, just come stand with us. As we say to the city, we're going to spring into action and be proactive about making sure that we have a safe summer going into this fall. No lives lost, that we on the front line doing what we supposed to do in our community to make sure our community is safe. And we want you to be a part. So if you're out there listening, you want to be a part, go to urbanspecialist.org. That's our organization, Unite Versity, sign up. Or you can send me a message on social media. You go to Anton Speaks, A-N-T-O-N-G-S-P-E-A-K-S, Anton Speaks on our social media. Send me a message, man. We want people to get involved. And if you want to donate, please donate. Let's help these change makers who are on the front lines continue doing the work to make us have a safe city. Thank y'all and thank you, Chris, for always opening the door and using your platform to shine light in the city, man. I appreciate you, and I'm forever indebted to what you do, man. You're a legend in the game.
Man, it goes both ways. I appreciate you so much. He is Antoine Lucky, the Urban Specialist President, and you know we will be following back up and making sure everything is all good. Thanks again for all you do, Anton.
Man, thank you, sir. Peace.
And joining us right now is the Executive Director of the nonprofit Be a Steady Hand, the Reverend Donald Parrish. Be a Steady Hand is partnered with the Dallas College Cedar Valley to host a gaming summer camp. I'm really excited about this gaming summer camp because this camp is a unique structure. It's utilizing sports video games to gain exposures to careers in the business of sports. Don, it's good to have you back on again. How you been?
I'm doing good, Chris. And Chris, our website is Be a Steady Hand, but we're actually called A Steady Hand.
Okay.
We added the extra word B in front of it just to get people motivated.
I got you. So if we're going to contact you, it's beasteadyhand.org, but the organization is called A Steady Hand.
Correct. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That is fantastic.
Man, thank you so much for having us back on. You had me on a couple months ago, and I kind of teased it then, and so I'm glad to kind of be able to talk about it in full view. We are really excited about this opportunity for young people all across DFW.
Well, let's talk about it in depth right now, because Be a Steady Hand has always been there for youth. Yeah, I'm getting tongue-tied. For youth, you've been trying to make sure they have opportunities. And this, I thought, was like, oh, this is right in the wheelhouse, because a whole lot of kids, they are gamers. They are gamers. Sometimes they do well at gaming, but sometimes they're just killing time gaming. But everybody under the age of 30 has a PlayStation, or they're doing some kind of gaming.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Actually, you know, if you look at stats, man, that age is actually almost 50 and under.
Yeah, I believe it. It started back with Miss Pac-Man. I understand.
Yeah, so you got a lot of people gaming. And I even mess with my wife, because I've been a gamer my whole life. But my wife does not view herself as a gamer. I said, well, baby, what do you think? All those Candy Crushes and word games and all that.
Yeah, Angry Birds. We know what she's doing online.
Yeah. And I said, so what do you think that is? And she was like, I never thought of it that way. I said, trust me, the industry does. And so you guys are gamers, just like those of us who are playing on consoles.
What's wild about it is a $4 billion industry. There are college scholarships you can get in the gaming industry. And in Arlington, the Arlington Convention Center, that has been returned into a gaming hub, and it's the third largest in the world, right behind Hong Kong and L.A.
Yeah, it's amazing. It is amazing the strides that have happened in gaming. And this camp has given us an opportunity to expose our young people to some very interesting sports management, finance, business principles, as well as journalism principles, all utilizing sports video games. And so we're really excited to bring this to DFW.
Well, let's go back to how you came together with the idea, what it took to make it happen, because people always love the backstory of, because you just didn't snap your fingers and say, let's do this, because it takes a little work, a little elbow grease.
Absolutely. So after the success of the Breakfast with Dads event, and we officially formed the organization, and just going around the country, you know, just doing our thing, trying to start A Steady Hand in different places. Matter of fact, Chris, I'm in LA right now, getting the version of A Steady Hand start on the ground here.
So, excellent.
And so what happened was, I'm a gamer. I was just killing time, and pandemic hit, and then something just clicked with me that, wait a minute. How can you maintain relationships with these young people when they're self-isolating at home? I said, everybody's talking on PlayStation Network or Xbox Live. And so I was like, okay, how do we maximize this time? How do we take this and turn this into something that's going to benefit this young person? Because I began to do some research and found that not only you have gaming scholarships on the creation of game side, but now you're having gaming scholarships on the playing side. Mm-hmm. But even more importantly, those are still athletes, believe it or not. Gamers are athletes.
Oh, yeah.
Like the high-end ones. But there are some sports management, some journalism, some financial principles that can be learned and understood while a kid is playing the game. So they can be. So basically, I was trying to do some what I call edutainment, right? I was trying to game.
I like that.
I was gaming, gaming education. And so, we've been working on this now, believe it or not, man, for 3 years. I reached out to some of my friends in the industry, in the sports, professional sports industry, in the front office side, on the ticketing side, in the journalism side, and just began to pick their brains and say, hey, what if we did this? If we added this, if we added that. And so that's what we came up with. At the time, I was calling it the Front Office Club, but we had to change the name because it bumps up against too much of other things that are kind of similar. So right now, we're just calling it A Steady Hand e-gaming, but we're working on a new name. But the Cedar Valley campus will be our first in-person activity. I did a small, like 10 student version last summer, just kind of work out some kinks.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is our first full attempt at a summer camp. And will eventually turn into a year-round experience and will eventually be online and in person. So we can be doing this in cities all across the world at the same time.
I love the whole concept. And again, you say it was 3 years in the making. Name some other people that you knocked on doors to try to get this thing to happen, because I know for a fact people who actually are gamers, they know it's real. There are people who live on Twitch right now. You know, that's how they communicate with their friends. You can communicate with anybody around the world on a gaming console, or you can actually develop skills. The military love the skill set, the hand-eye coordination, when you do gaming, because they got drones and things. They got things that you could do to help out the military. There's so many layers to this. Jerry Jones owns a gaming team. The Dallas Mavericks have a gaming coordinator. They got NBA 2K's got, they got a gaming team. They got a gaming center. It's huge. And we already know about Madden, because everybody's in Madden. There's athletes to this day. That's all they do is wait to hear how they're rated on the Madden games. That's how big this stuff is. So you know it's there. For those who just shrug their shoulders and don't think it's not just a lifestyle, but it's an opportunity to gain employment with what you love, because that's what it is. In fact, at one point, just a personal story, a few years ago, my father-in-law, you know, he loves athletes. He loves athletics. And before he passed away, I was telling him my son is a really good gamer. He's just a really good gamer. He's also a real good track star, but he's a really good gamer. He won some Fortnite tournament, not won it, but won $4,000 on this worldwide Fortnite tournament. And all of a sudden, yeah, he started recognizing. And I told him, I said, listen, my son could get a gaming scholarship no different than somebody getting a track scholarship, a football scholarship. I said, it's a scholarship opportunity based upon a skill set that could be turned into an occupation. Am I wrong, Don?
No, you're not. There's a young man right now sitting, I think he's still in Austin. He won $250,000 cash.
Woo.
from the Madden tournament. Tony Gonzalez presented him with the championship belt. He's a young black kid from Chicago, 21 years old. He moved to Austin, Texas. So and that's just one tournament, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
So again, people need to understand that there are layers to this. You know, in the hip hop world, you know, we used to say a couple years ago that there's levels to this, right?
Yeah.
Well, it's the same thing, man. There's levels and layers. And
yeah, I'll give you another example. You don't have to be the greatest gamer, because, you know, once again, gamers are like athletes. They're exceptional. And this is another thing a lot of people didn't understand. They're like, why would anybody watch gamers? The same way you watch television, you'd watch the sports on TV because you want to see how good, you want to see the best at what they do. The same reason you watch LeBron, Patrick Mahomes, you want to see them. That's why I say these hubs, these gaming centers, people actually go to them and watch, and they watch them on YouTube, same way, because like, wow, that guy is good. Or, wow, that game, he took it to another level. But here's we're talking about the different levels. You don't have to be the quote unquote gaming athlete. You might be smart enough and know the ins and outs so well, you can be on the marketing side of it. Or you might be able to create another game that somebody might buy, because guess what? You created it. You became an entrepreneur that way. I mean, there's levels, like you said.
Absolutely. And Chris, I think what's important for people to realize is, especially with our camp, with what we're doing, your son or daughter, because it's not just for boys. This is for boys and girls.
Yeah.
And we're targeting high school seniors. I mean, not high school seniors, high school students. But if you have a high performing middle school student who can handle it, then we'll make an invitation and let them participate as well. Because of all the careers around sports, there would be no ESPN Sports Center if there were not for the athletes.
That's right.
Well, it's the same thing in the gaming world. And for people who don't understand that, it all seems trivial until you look at the dollars that are both being generated and being spent. And then you recognize, wow, why are we not tapping into that? And then lastly, the educational benefit. Even if we have some students who come to us who are not necessarily gamers, we're going to be able to give them a certification, actually a certified skill that a community college system here in Dallas, Dallas College, is willing to put their brand and their name behind, you know, and this is something that you can take to show a potential university who you're applying to, hey, I was able to show my skills and my development, you know, and here's some certification, all while having fun in the summer. That's what I love about it, man. I'm always trying to create stuff I wish existed when I was a kid, right? Mm-hmm. I think that's how we move the needle forward. And so really excited about this opportunity, man, for our young people here in the DFW area, man. And so glad to partner with Dallas College and the leadership team there at Cedar Valley.
We're talking to the executive director of A Steady Hand, the Reverend Donald Parrish. And Donald, you've got a special guest with you, don't you? A guy named Tony?
Yes, sir. I got with me, man, Mr. Tony Russell, man. So Tony Russell is our intern. He's our first intern in the history of A Steady Hand from the University of Cincinnati.
Oh, the Bearcats. The new Big 12 school.
Yeah, we're in the Big 12 now.
Yeah. Well, you know, they had to wait until our schools got out of there, Chris.
Talk about UT and OU. So Tony, look
Chris,
out.
Chris, only thing bad about Chris is that he's an OU alum. That's the only thing bad I would say about him. You know, but of course, you know, since Texas and OU, since we're going on the bigger and better things, I guess they'll let a little scrubby school like Cincinnati get in, right?
Not to disperse you, Tony. So, Tony, obviously, you bring something to the table. I understand you're a sports management major.
Yes, I am a sports management major. This is my last year, actually. And I've learned a lot over the years, but also I've been doing my own thing with social media and stuff. And I've had success with that as well. And I actually met Mr. Parrish through gaming. And that's why I don't know why, but we just connected on a different level. And we've been working on this for 3 years. And I think because he saw that I saw what he was seeing, like we were in a league together and he was trying to cheat. But he could not cheat the system with me. He could not cheat the system with me because I saw exactly what he saw. And
so he recognized your skills.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So Don, tell us why you brought Tony to the table on creating this camp. Tell me what you saw in him.
Okay, so we were in this league, and this guys all across the country, and we're playing Madden, and the guys never could figure out how I always had money in the offseason. Like they couldn't, like how is he cooking his books to where he can always sign a top tier free agent, and they were not doing the business side behind what it takes to run a franchise. They're just picking up and playing. And so I will tell guys all the time, you might be better at the game than I am, but you will never be a better owner than I am. Because mm-hmm. I'm going to take care of my business. Mm-hmm. And so here comes this young man, and I'm noticing every time we're bidding on free agents, he got money too. And I'm thinking, now, wait a minute. Somebody else has figured out this. So I just started watching. And then I learned that he was, I thought I met him, he was like a senior in high school. And then I learned he was going to the University of Cincinnati. He was a sports management major. I said, man, I was as well. And so we just kind of kept the friendship going. But I recognized the intelligence in him when we started having conversations on Xbox Live and just doing multiple leagues together. And once I understood, I don't think he knew at that point what he was really doing. He was just thought he was just playing the game, mm-hmm. and just. But once I really explained to him, hey man, this is what I'm working on, and the full concept, he got it. Him and about two or three other young men his age. Chris, this thing was supposed to be an online only thing, because by this point we are now smack dab in the middle of the pandemic. Okay,
mm-hmm. A couple years ago.
Taking Tony and a few other guys through some simulations. And so we're meeting, we're setting up meeting on Discord, and we're having business meetings on Xbox Live, you know? Mm-hmm. So, and I'm actually breaking down, and we're trying to put together a system to where we can do this completely online. And so we just started working. I met I met with the leadership over at Cedar Valley, and one thing led to another. They were learning about a steady hand. I said, hey, I got this gaming concept. You know, I think you guys, I know you're getting into gaming. I think you'll be interested in it. And then boom, we got to doing it in person. But originally this thing was supposed to be online only. And so with having people in different cities, it was just perfect. I mean, it was going to work out perfectly. We still will go online, but us doing it, there is an added expense for us doing it in person. I'm purchasing consoles. Like mm-hmm. everybody will have an Xbox Series X console.
Right. And you have a facility with Dallas College, Cedar Valley. They got correct. A big room. They've got the different correct. Rooms if you need them. You got a place correct. Where everybody can gather. And as you said, learn some things because it's not just entertainment. It's infotainment, right?
Right. Correct. Correct. Edutainment.
Edutainment. There you go. Edutainment.
Yeah, we're educating and having fun the same. But I want to emphasize the fun. This will be a lot of fun. We're going to mainly be on Madden 2K. We even got a city simulation style game that we're going to introduce to the young people. Mm-hmm. Like we're going to stretch their brains all while they're having fun. And so I think we're also going to have an ongoing relationship, not only with Cedar Valley, but with a couple other campuses, hopefully to spread out and do our form of mentoring. Because Chris, believe it or not, this is another form of mentoring. A Steady Hand is a mentoring organization.
Right.
We are trying to help. But if you look at our logo, one of our fingers is exposure. One is sports and also exposure. This is covering two fingers. Because if we're doing something sports related, but we're also exposing these young people to opportunities that they may have felt like were outside of their reach.
You know what's so wild about this? You're actually outside of the box, but nowadays you have to be with this day and age of technology. You've got to be able to reach people in their own information bubbles. You got to reach them where they are so that you can affect positively things in their lives. And I think this is an outstanding way to mentor different kids who are needing some guidance, but guess what? This is what they enjoy doing. You're meeting them where they are as opposed to trying to drag them someplace that they don't know anything about. And you're sliding that education in on there. I love all of that. Hey, Tony, I got a question for you real quick. You're from the Houston area, right? You're from Texas? So
yes.
So are you going to be able to have an opportunity to come to this camp?
Yes, I'm going to be there.
Excellent. So you're going to be hands-on and help people out. And so what was your reaction when Donald Parrish was telling you this whole idea and you could see it being developed over time, and tell us some of the things you think you added to the equation besides your knowledge and game recognizing game.
I was very excited when he said that as everything was happening, it was very shocking to me, but I was very excited as well. I'm like, wow, this is actually happening. Everything's actually getting into place for the camp to be, it's actually getting big now. And but I think I add a sense of youth to everything.
Right.
Because I am 22 years old.
And you're Gen Z.
Mm-hmm. I'm Gen Z.
So you know whatever, you know how Gen Z thinks. I got you.
Mm-hmm. And
Chris, they call me old school when we're in our Xbox Live party.
Well, it is what it is. That's a sign of respect for you. Okay, Tony, you were saying that you're Gen Z and that you know how Gen Z either accepts things or rejects things or what you guys like, right?
Yes. And I also, I think I understand the way social media works nowadays.
Right.
And I have some knowledge towards that too. And we've been thinking about, there's a lot of things that go into the camp itself. And we've been thinking about ways that we can get exposure or more exposure on the camp as well. While in the camp, with the kids and everything and showing what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what I've been adding to the table so far.
Well, also, since you're getting a degree in sports management, University of Cincinnati, what are you learning from sports management classes that helps you with this particular cause?
Well, they've taught me a lot about sports marketing. I've actually been a sports marketing intern. I've worked hands-on with them about learning salary caps and things like that. Like things that are within Madden, but we learned it through real life concepts. Does mm-hmm. that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
And just learning that and going through classes, I've had great teachers to teach me those things. And we also had a lot of team building things that we've worked on too. And I've always thought I was a team player. Like, I've never been someone that was solo, and it's all the coming together, I guess.
So Don, what have you learned from a Gen Z guy that, I mean, you've been playing video games with this guy for years and you're picking his brain. What are some things that you were surprised about? Because you've always been mentoring kids. You've always been there for a lot of guys.
I think the misconception that a lot of us have about I'm Generation X, right?
Mm-hmm.
And even some millennials, when they look at the Gen Zers, they think that it's a lost generation. It's a lost cause. That, you know, they're not trying to do anything productive. And that's not true. You just have to be able to speak their language
right.
in the sense of presenting them opportunities of something that they want to do. Meaning that they don't expect me nor want me to know who the latest rapper is, to speak that lingo and all that. Like, it's cool. I dabble in it a little bit, but that's not really what they expect from me. It's not what they want from me.
Mm-hmm.
What they want from me is the stability of being an OG, right?
Right.
Stability of being old school, for being an old head who is still cool enough to relate to them, but also willing to give them a hand up and to teach them the game on the business side so that they can accomplish their dream. So what I've learned, I think what Tony, something that he's underselling is his social media personality, man. He's been hosting his own shows and his
Are you saying he's an influencer? Tony, are you an influencer?
That's
incredible.
I am an aspiring influencer. That's what I like to say.
You understand, you know, when you see someone who has the audacity to have a dream
mm-hmm.
and is willing to chase that dream, well, you can't help. I mean, to me, that's infectious. You can't help but be around that. And so
here you are at this particular point in time getting ready for this camp, but you mentioned at the top of the show that you're in L.A. right now. Can you tell us a little bit about what you're doing in L.A.? I know you don't want to spoil it.
Well, yeah. So we'll announce the schools, but I think I can safely say that A Steady Hand will be starting work in Los Angeles proper starting this fall.
Congratulations.
And I'm really excited. Yeah, man, this has been another thing that's been like 4 years in the making.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I hope I'm showing this to Tony and to some others. That whatever it is that you want in life, if it doesn't happen initially, does not mean it's not going to happen. You just have to keep at it, keep working at it. And
exactly.
So A Steady Hand, man, you know, Chris, last time I was on the show, we were talking about the Bowling League, and we're still doing that. Matter of fact, we got our fourth season of the Bowling League about to start back up. We got college tours. We're still doing that. We're still mm-hmm. doing one-on-one matching. And now we're adding this whole e-gaming concept. Chris, I even got a golf team that we're starting this summer, but we'll talk about that later.
Oh, so, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and so the thing about it is, the overall point I think I want people to understand is, if you say you want to do something, the only person that can stop you from doing it is the person whose teeth you brush every day. It's the one who you look in the mirror and see every day.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one that is your biggest benefactor, and that's also can be your biggest obstacle block. You have got to be willing to go get it.
You have to. And if you want to go to this camp again, this e-gaming camp, tell us the information again.
Yes, sir. But first, I got to say thank you to Joe Seabrook, Seabrook, who is the we used to call them campus presidents. Now I think they're called the provost
mm-hmm.
there at Cedar Valley with Dallas College for being such a welcoming partner. Thank you. My boy Carlton Dixon, who is the owner of Reveal Suits.
Yes, sir.
And
a basketball star at UT and at Lincoln.
Carlton and I, we came up together, man. And Carlton just announced today, Chris, that he's partnered with PGA. So he's doing the jackets for the PGA now.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So I'm really proud. Well, he is one of our sponsors for the camp. So
he is a major entrepreneur. This is a guy that took his sports career to the next level and did a business off of this. I'm so proud of him as well.
Absolutely. Just great man. So So those are two sponsors. If there's any companies who are listening who would like to,
partner
sponsor,
up,
please.
Yeah.
Just please let me know. I will send you the flyer that hopefully you can post it when this gets posted. But the quickest way is to email us at info@beastadyhand.org. 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 And we will we'll take it from there. Spaces are limited. But I'm not putting a cap on it because Cedar Valley has been so wonderful that as numbers grow, we're just changing rooms. So again, we want to get as many people signed up as possible, not young people signed up as possible. There is a charge. The charge is $200 per week. The camp will be from 12 to 5, Monday through Friday. We're taking the week of the 4th of July off. So we start like the last week of June. The first week of July, we're off. And then the remaining month of July, we'll be Monday to Friday.
That's fantastic.
The kids will have a blast. And we are willing to scholarship some young people, but that's where we need people who, if they would like to sponsor a young person.
Sure.
Please let us know. info@beastadyhand.org. But this is going to be, this is a seminal moment for me. This is something that, again, we've been working on for years. I told my parents, I said, y'all can't fuss at me anymore about playing games. I said, because now gaming is a part of my work, you know. So when I'm beating Tony in Madden, and Tony, don't you say anything, but when I'm beating Tony in Madden, it's actually me working. It's actually me putting in work now. So I appreciate that.
And we appreciate you guys. Thanks again, Don. Thanks again, Tony. And thank you all for joining us on Better Living, a show about people and organizations having a huge impact here in North Texas. I'm your host, Chris Arnold. So long, everybody.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.